So, Maria, did you enjoy your butter biscuit?
Yes.
You did. Okay, you're still half digesting that.
Welcome to the People Will Talk podcast. This is coming, well, not live, but recorded from the Secret Kingdoms bookshop, which is the only bookshop in Madrid that sells books exclusively in English. We have been here many times for many events, and here we are again recording a podcast. We did this last year with Crazy Mary Library, or bookshop, I should say, when we interviewed Graham McIndoe, the Scottish photographer. And here we are with Carlos Polo Rosario. Carlos, how are you?
Hello, Inda. Pretty good here talking with you.
Great to have you here. And as always, our erstwhile host, co-host, Maria, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
All right. So, well, Carlos, you're a young man, but a man with many strings to your bow. You've done lots of different things. So let's start off with the basketball thing. So first of all, congratulations. You've won a basketball tournament recently.
Thank you.
So you are basically the all-star coach of American sports. That's great.
Well, I try to become that. Yeah, well, it was a long season, a lot of stuff to do. There are a lot of steps in a season, and well, yeah, we conclude in winning. It was unexpected for all of us because we had other goals, like the team getting along together. That in this competition is the most important thing to me. And well, we end up winning. It was a surprise for all of us. We still have games because there are more, classification games and all of this stuff. But this is not like the league anymore. This is like playoffs and things that we weren't expected to play. So we don't mind if we lose.
So how do you approach this? Because how old are you, Carlos?
Yeah, I'm 24.
Okay, so you're a coach. You're responsible for all these different players. How do you approach the training, asserting your authority? There's so much you have to do, isn't there?
Yeah, well, the first thing that I plan for the season is to gain the confidence of everybody, not to be trustful. For everybody, my manner of being is like be funny to everyone, that everyone wants to come to each practice and to each game and to meet people. Okay, so the first thing is to set the environment, because in the end, we spend a lot of time doing what we like, in this case, basketball. So it's to set that environment first, and then it's the administration procedures, like roll up the team into the competition, go after everybody to make the payments, and ask the art designer to start making the uniforms. So September, October are the most stressful months for me. and then, well, the practices and, well, it depends, no? Because I am coaching two teams, one of men that I'm also a player, and I'm also the coach of the women team. So it's different because when you are only the coach, you have more time to think and to analyze whatever happens in the games and what does the team need. But when you are both coach and player, it's more like sensations, no? And what do you feel on the court and with your teammates, no? But for both teams, it's like the, as I've said, the environment, and that we are a whole team, because other years, what happened is that we were a gang, not a team, okay? And each of the players were like making the work by themselves, and that's not a team. So this year my main focus was to give everyone a role so that they were proud of what they do during the whole season and feel important for the team. And that's how I plan everything.
Wow, that is a lot of planning. I'm really surprised. I play basketball as well for a good 11 years. not only Opto Preferente, nothing professional. But I'm very surprised you say you coach two teams. So one of them, you're actually also a player. Like, that must be really difficult. How do you, how do you give instructions from... Yeah. From the side, and also, well, I'm interested also in like what position you have within the court. Are you base or
no? I'm a shooting guard. Okay, when I play, so I don't mind the minutes playing. I like to everybody play first before me, and well, the most difficult part for me with the women is that I am one of the youngest, because I'm 24, as I've said, and the youngest is like 22, so it's similar age, but the oldest are like 43 or something like that. But as I said, it's a difference, a huge difference, no? And well, as I've said, it's like it's in the personality, you know, and became trustful to everybody was the key of it. And in the guys, it's just my point of view is that I'm not the best one for a huge difference. I'm not the player of the team, okay? But I like to consider myself the brain, okay? Because it's more like understanding the group of people rather than the sport itself, okay? It's like, what does this person feel comfortable with? What is this person capable of? It's that those things that make the team work. And well, in previous years I had problems with the age difference, but this year didn't happen. And I've been doing interview with both of them, and the women said to me that I had to become more. With more authority, you know, like, okay, you are young, but you have to coach more for us. So I was like, okay, let's see next year.
And do parents come to the games? Because sometimes they're very infamous for putting pressure on the referees and the coaches. Is there that extra level of pressure as well when you're managing the games?
There are not many parents coming. You know, it's these ages that not parents don't come to see me, but there are parents that are still come. And well, in the club itself, we build like I wouldn't say values, but you know that we don't want people to be too much competitive and come into the game and in bad words for the referee or for the coaches. You know, it's more the club that I play in, that I'm one of the directors. It's more like a family group that wants to keep playing basketball. You know, because these ages, we all have jobs. We all have, well, I'm not, but people have kids, and you know, it's, as I've said, to build a proper environment so that everyone wants to come. And imagine if a parent of one of these guys is coming, so, and making everything worse. That's not what we look for. And the people that enroll to the team knows the same, that they want to be like good, because there are other teams that are more like you have to come to train and you have to spend a lot of time, and if you lose you are garbage, and that's not the philosophy that we have here. So we don't have parents, angry parents. Phew. But yeah, when it comes to pressure more like that, it's the what opinion do the people have about you? So that pressure, it's difficult to handle, no? But well, it goes with the year, that you in the end you understand that it's a game, and we are not professional, as Maria have said, and we just want to have fun. And if someone thinks bad things about you, they tell me and I can improve. And that's about the like everything in life.
Is there media coverage as well? So sometimes are you in a newspaper about this and, you know, interviews and things like this?
No, because we are not at that huge level, you know, and the league that we have won, it's one from the, it's from only Madrid, this district, okay, that I live in, and it's not that important, but we are happy to play in this league, so.
It sounds fantastic, Carlos, everything that you've been talking about. Yeah, and I just want to ask you something more generally, because I know, having played paddle with you, that you're a big fan of American basketball, which of course is the zenith of the sports. We've spoken before about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance. So do you feel like American sports here and American culture generally, is that something that's a reference point for you even as a coach, or just even as a basketball fan, as a huge American influence on Spain?
Yeah, I'm going part by part. As a coach, I prefer the European league, because in the NBA is more like showtime rather than the game itself. In the end, if you're a usual watcher, then you understand the game there. But their philosophy is different from here. Here's just a competition. It's more like a fight between two teams, and the one who wins is the best. Over there is like they have a lot of games. They have to travel a lot, like from the East Coast to the West Coast. And it's not that coaching thing. It's more the talent of the players themselves. Of course, there are teams that are more than a team than a gang, as I said before, no? So for coaching stuff, I prefer the European one, with plays, with, you know, the feeling and the dynamics. It's because the rules in America and in the rest of the world are different. So I prefer, in the coaching thing, I prefer the European one. As a player, I like the NBA, not the American sport, because, well, you have pros and cons. When you watch The Last Dance that you have mentioned, you know, this motivation that comes into your body and you feel like you are the best one in on the court. You go to the game and in the end, the reality takes you down to the earth and you feel like, oh, I'm the same as always. No, but the motivation that gives you this place, no, with impossible shots and with dunks, jumping, people jumping over other ones. You know, these things are like a lot of influence here in Spain. No? But then it comes to you. What do you prefer, the European one or the American one? And the way you take this influence, because as I've said, I see an American game and then I try to do the same and I end up laughing like, you know, I'm the same as always, no? But there are people that think that they can do that. And I'm like, you know, you're shorter than me, you can dance. So, yeah, it's a lot of influence. It depends on what do you focus in the showtime or in the basketball competition itself, not in the sport.
I don't know if you've seen the movie. There's an Adam Sandler movie where he finds a rookie from Spain and makes him big in the NBA. So there's some crossover.
Yeah. The Hustle is the name.
Hustle, that's it. Excellent.
So, that was a very complete answer, really, for our listeners. But we're just going to completely change the topic a bit, because you've written your thesis on TikTok and journalism. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I studied journalism and audiovisual communication. And yeah, my thesis it was about TikTok, like becoming a journalism platform for teenagers. And, well, the project I had to do it during the pandemic times. So I was like, I couldn't do field work. No, I couldn't interview people more than online like this. But it wasn't. It was in the first times of the COVID. So in the end, I ended up thinking about a topic that I could research in an international way. So first of all, I downloaded TikTok during those times because I was bored at home, more or less. So I discovered this account from the Washington Post, and they had a guy. They hired a guy for that goal, that was to make funny videos, random videos about the news, but adapted to TikTok. Now, when you download TikTok, it depends on what you see, not what you consume, but it's really easy to understand the after studying a degree, of course, but to understand how it works, the language, the visual language, and it's completely different. Just it's quite simple, no? But the television is horizontal and the mobile phone is vertical, no? So in the end, it's different codes of recording, of the way that you have to explain the thing, because you don't have enough time. You just have like 10 seconds to keep the consumer attention, no? So my thesis consisted on the Washington Post plan for TikTok to take it to Spain. And I chose one newspaper here that is the Huffington Post. Which is like, let's say, less...
serious?
Less serious. That's it. Less serious, and because if you imagine, you know, the El Mundo or ABC here in Spain, it's different, no? It's another focus. But for example, the Huffington Post was okay for that purpose. So I designed like a strategy to cover the news of that time and make videos so that teenagers could be like the first contact with the news could be on TikTok. Like, okay, let's go with them. And then when they are older, try to move them to the traditional. I don't know if the traditional is going to long a lot, to be long. Like, I don't know if teenagers, when they become older, are going to read newspapers. I don't know if they are going to watch television. I think it's going to change, of course. But, you know, the first step to be TikTok, it was an interesting idea for me, and that's why I did my research in that topic.
So it's quite interesting because you see this as a bridge then, so young people can get their first taste of news on TikTok and then graduate to the serious things like, you know, the FYEs, New York Times or whatever it would be. So, you know, is this how you see social media in general? I mean, is Twitter more mature or better capable of spreading news? You know, is it more useful for journalists, or is all social media just a bridge to newspapers, do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't like to say Twitter and now with more sense, because it's suffering difficult times, not Twitter. But the idea itself, even in my journalism classes, people didn't want to read the news. Like, sorry, but my God, you are studying journalism and you don't want to, you know, it's like you are kicking the news out of your life and you want to become a journalist, no? So in my point of view, it's like this is changing, of course. So, because if people that are studying journalism think like that, is something is happening, no? The traditional way, it's changing. I think that we are more like consumer that fast information, of course, but we don't like to consume information that it's later wrong, no? Because you have to find the balance between the fast information and the good information. Of course, if you have the best of both, you are the best one in the field. I think it's changing quicker, shorter. That's the way that we are going, no? Because it happens with everything. Now with the TV series, used to be like one episode per week, and now we want all of them, so I can manage myself to watch every episode in the way I want, and the information is the same. I don't know, I don't have the statistics of this, but I guess that the last paragraph of a piece of news is not even written anymore, I guess.
That's interesting, because you've told us a little bit about how you see it. Yeah. As a bridge, it's not normally what people, I suppose, what the general perception of of TikTok is. So, I mean, even in some countries, you know, it's really feared. And I don't know if it's precisely because of this that you can give information very fast. So, for example, some Asian countries have banned it already, and maybe like the US was talking about it. So do you think, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's the reason? Is the format that, you know, allows to spread news very fast? Is that the issue or?
Also, just to jump in there on Maria's question, not to be rude or anything, Maria, so I'm so sorry. I think what Maria asked there is very valid, but also, Carlos, I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts about banning it in relation to its short structure, but also the fact that they say China is using it to spy as well. Those kind of two elements.
The thing is about TikTok, you can use it however you want. I mean, the algorithm is going to recommend you whatever you want, and that's for real. Because if you want to see news, you have to be, you have to like them in first. So, because if not, you are like watching dances and dogs and these kind of things that are most likely topics of TikTok, no? And about the ban itself, okay, I don't know if it's more like a political and spy thing, because I'm not an expert in the field, but
that's what a spy would say.
I mean, the information is going to be spread from one way or another. I don't know if this is more like China against the US or against the world or whatever. But in my opinion, it's not the fear about the information being spread, like the format. No, the format for me, it's fine. It's what we see and watch every day. Like, I don't know, in your normal life, you don't pay attention to a lot of things more than 10 minutes. So, but I mean, depends on the thing. Okay? But you want to consume everything faster. So the information, it's going to be the same if it's not right now. And the format, well, it could be a fear, but it's the same in a video, in a text, in an image. It depends, because there are too many WhatsApp messages that we receive, and it's the same that we read the first, the title, even the title or the first paragraph, and that's the information. So it depends. 10 seconds of the video, 10 seconds of you reading the information. No, it's almost the same time. So The format for me, it's not a fear. Okay, it's that, well, now with the smartphones, it's easier to record video, and then you don't know the guy, but you trust on him. Now that's the fear that depends on the places that you see that information. If you ask, you don't ask a random guy about a piece of news on the street. So it's the same when you watch a video on the internet, but that depends on you.
Of course. So I suppose that sort of control in, you know, what sort of news you get, it makes me think of just like press freedom in general. It's much harder to control it if you have those sort of outlets. But overall, you know how there are these ranks, classifications of different countries and how much press freedom there is in them. So we have one that says that Spain is basically number 19th out of 48 countries. Do you think that's fair? Would you consider Spain to be, a place where there's press freedom? Or it's kind of like mid-table, so I don't know what you think about
that. Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know a lot about the topic, no? But I think that these rankings, okay, are fair depending on what they are studying. Because you tell me we are the 19th on the position, and I'm like, okay, but what are the
metrics?
The metric things. Because for me, it's I didn't have any problems on publishing anything, but it depends on what are the controls, no, that they are putting in the news that you are publishing. For example, if I work for a newspaper and my boss tells me this can't be published, okay, that's the freedom thing that we are talking about. But nowadays that everyone can publish everything, you know, it depends on where we're talking. So it's like we have a measure like El País, El Mundo, ABC, La Vanguardia, or what are we measuring? No, because freedom of news, I don't have the feeling that we don't have freedom. It's like more that your boss or your director or whoever doesn't let you publish anything because of the repercussion that it could have on the future of the company. But I don't know if you have problems publishing, like, by the law. It's more like your local work environment.
I can confirm that Ireland scores higher in the ranking than Spain.
Oh, shut up.
For press freedom. So finally, Carlos, we just want to ask you one more question, because I think it's really interesting to talk to people about what they've studied. You know, I have a history background. Maria is an archaeologist. Two jobs that had no futures in the labor market. what is it like studying journalism in Spain? What is the training like in general?
Well, studying journalism, it depends on who you ask. You asking me, I had a good opportunity. Okay, in my case, I went to a private university because I took the open doors sessions, and I went like for the public ones, and from the private ones, I have the luck to decide that, because if not, you have to go to the public ones. So I decided to study in a private one because I had access to materials. Okay, there wasn't any problem in taking a camera out of the university, a microphone, recording the in the places that they have there. We actually had a TV set. So in my case, studying journalism, it depends on the teachers, as every degree. But I think that you have to study like history, because if you don't understand the history, then you can't comprehend what you are living now. And you have to do a lot of work, practical work, because journalism is not a degree that you are there sitting in your chair and listen to what they are telling you. Of course, you have to take a piece of your time first to understand everything, to understand the dynamic. But, you know, journalism, it's the theoretical way, it's pretty easy. You have to then develop your instinct and then understand how to write, how to talk, how to be on a screen. And that depends on what you choose, what you are more likely to, what you are most comfortable with, and then go for it. Like, it doesn't, in my case, I had the opportunity, you know, to take a camera and record myself and giving pieces of news from villages around Madrid. And so study is, I liked how I took my class, my journalism classes, because they were practical. And I also had like out of classes activities, like I joined a radio program too. And, you know, during those times, I took the opportunity to the highest level, like this is what is going to be my life for 5 years, because with the 2 degrees. And I went for it like the much I could. And that's about journalism, about audiovisual communication. It's, for my opinion, the other way around. It depends on how you focus. If you focus like you want to be a cameraman, then go and record everything, man. But if if you want to be like a director or something like that, then you have to consume a lot of TV series, a lot of films, a lot of shorts, whatever you choose to study, no? But as I've said, in journalism, first theoretical part, then in audiovisual communication, in my experience, it's more than, it's longer, no? That part of consuming, because there are people that think that they are going to be director the first day they jump off the university, and that's not real. So just to understand the theoretical way, and then try to experiment. In the end, it's experiment everything and try this and try that and fail and then go up again. That's my recommendation for studying in Spain, journalism and audiovisual communication.
I hope speaking with us today has been a type of training as well. How how not do a podcast. You can learn from all our mistakes and create a better one in the future. Carlos, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure. We hope to see your name in print as a world-famous journalist in the future, or a basketball-winning coach as well. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Great.